an assault at an Ashland restaurant late in 2017 inspired a local woman to take action. She formed a new group called Keeping Ashland Women Safe, or CAUSE for short. The group has already partnered with other sexual violence prevention and awareness groups in Southern Oregon and with the Ashland Police Department. CAUSE joined several groups about a week ago for a sexual violence awareness summit, and we have a couple members of the group in the studio this morning. Suzanne McQueen, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks.
And also Leela Harding, and as well in the studio is Ashland's Chief of Police, Ty O'Meara. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
So, Suzanne, let's start with you because you were there at the beginning of the founding of the group, and we have to mention that the founder of the group was going to be with us, but she, at the last minute, ended up not being able to make it. So we appreciate other group members being able to step in and talk about this subject. So was this group really inspired by this single incident at the restaurant in Ashland, or was that just kind of the last straw?
Well, really, it was definitely prompted by that. It was really founded by Alea Katani, who, like you mentioned, is not able to be here this morning. But she heard about this incident at the Loft. But that is the thing that sparked it. But also, in addition to that, she had been hearing stories for a very long time, as all of us had been, around Ashland and through social media, hearing stories from women about feeling unsafe, about being groped, about having their drinks drugged and things like that. And so and some of them reported and many of them not, most of them not. And so Alea, because she's a career social worker and a wellness practitioner in private practice, also just always has her ears open. And she's someone who's somewhat of a confidant that she often ends up hearing these stories because women will feel comfortable in telling her, you know, about their experiences. So she felt really inclined to, she just felt like, okay, with the Loft incident, she said, it's time to do something, you know. So she pulled together about 10 or 12 members of the community who felt would be interested in this topic to discuss the problems and explore solutions. And so I was really impressed with who she actually brought together because it was a really well-rounded group. She brought together people from Jackson County. Well, she's also a co-chair of Jackson County Council Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. And so she knew of some good resources. And she pulled together some local counselors and mediators, social media admins, and different things like that who are aware of who are the administrators of some of the social media groups on Facebook. So, you know, I attended this meeting that was really, really well-rounded, and we just sat and identified, you know, what was really concerning us and possible solutions. It was just really a brainstorming session, but it was pretty impressive what she brought together.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that a lot of what Alea and other members of the group heard from the community were incidents that were not reported.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know, is there any consistent reason why those incidents don't get reported? Is it because there's not awareness of where and how to report them, or there's shame or embarrassment?
Well, it's been a culturally very it's got a long history of women not reporting because they haven't really felt heard. In the past, things are getting so much better now, but in the past, really they haven't gotten much satisfaction. In addition, when they do report, it ends up causing problems in their family. They end up getting criticized themselves, often really put on the stand themselves. I mean, if you go to trial with a rape situation, it's often the victim who is put on trial and, you know, asked about what was she wearing, why was she there, and the tables get turned pretty fast. And women have, I mean, this is the culture of women. This has been the culture of women for a very, very, very long time. It's just now we're finally saying no. And this whole Me Too movement, the Time's Up thing, it's an even louder shout of no, no more of this. But it is in every community all over the world. It's very alive in every city in the United States. And, you know, I think that smaller places sometimes, like Ashland, and we're just focusing on Ashland because this happens to be the place where we were noticing, you know, some of the incidences happening. But, you know, I mean, it's everywhere. But women are not inclined to report.
So Alea Kitani, who is the founder of the group, when I spoke with her on the phone and by email, she said on several occasions that she felt that Ashland was kind of a bubble town, that people move here or people who live here because as a small town, it has a lower crime rate than some other areas. But people move here thinking it's some sort of Shangri-La and they can let their guard down and, you know, nothing ever happens here. But that's not really the case.
Well, that's not really the case because, you know, it does. The reason we have moved here, I've been here for 30 years, and it still feels like a wonderful, wonderful town, and it is a wonderful town. But it's not a bubble, and things do happen, and we just don't hear about it. And over the past many years that I've lived here, we've also felt that things were not reported in the newspaper, even if they were reported to the police. People haven't known about the things that have gone on behind the scenes, but things have happened. So I guess Alea felt it was time, like the rest of us, to express that this isn't a bubble that we live in, that you have to stay aware, just like when you live anywhere.
So that's probably a good opportunity to turn to the chief of police of Ashland, Ty O'Meara, who's with us in the studio this morning. How's the Ashland Police Department working with this particular organization?
Yeah, this is a new partnership that I'm excited about. When I hear that there's any group of people in Ashland that feels as though they are particularly vulnerable, and I agree that there are threats specific to the female community, that's something that I feel the police department needs to partner on. The police department does have a good track record of establishing best practices for investigating all sexual assaults, and this furthers that work. So just as we know that, as Suzanne was saying, that sexual assaults are grossly underreported and there's a lot of obstacles to reporting them, as few as 10 to 20% of sexual assaults get reported, and as many as 90% plus of sexual assaults that happen at the hands of somebody that the survivor knows. And just as we want to remove the barriers to reporting all sexual assaults, if there are barriers to reporting any attacks against women, against any member of the community, I'm eager to partner with any group that's going to remove those barriers.
And I understand that the Ashland Police Department and the city already have a reporting program in place?
Yeah, the Ashland Police Department, Detective Carrie Hall, invented a program called You Have Options in 2000. It was developed between 2010 and the beginning of 2013 and implemented in 2013. And this has become a national best practices program that tries to remove as many barriers as possible to sexual assault reporting. And in the first year, keeping in mind that rapes are reported, sexual assaults are reported at between 10 and 20% in Oregon, probably as low as 10%. Keeping in mind that we hear about 1 in 10 sexual assaults, in the first year we did manage to double our sexual assault reporting, which is really exciting. And that doesn't mean that more sexual assaults happened in 2013 than in 2012. It means that twice as many survivors felt comfortable enough to come to the police and get us involved to some extent. So that's a good thing.
And do you have the specific stats at hand as to how many sexual assaults there have been in the past couple of years, with the understanding, of course, that greater reporting means that the gross number goes up, obviously?
Right. The only number that I have at the tip of my tongue is I know that last time I looked, there had been 12 sexual assaults reported to the Ashland Police in some capacity so far in 2018. And so if we try to extrapolate, given the 10 to 20% reporting, that means that actually there have been between 60 and 120 sexual assaults so far that have occurred in the city of Ashland. And this is, as has been said earlier, this is not unique to Ashland. This stuff happens everywhere. It happens everywhere, and it is grossly underreported everywhere. So it's a good thing if we can get greater awareness behind this and remove those barriers, remove whatever stigma anybody perceives to be there for sexual assault reporting. We need to make the numbers go up so that we can hold the serial offenders accountable in the long run. And just to touch on that, that's something else that we know, that people that sexually assault don't do one and then they're done. They go back time and time again until somebody holds them accountable. So that's what this program is looking to do. It's looking to empower survivors to report, not necessarily prosecute, but give us the information that we need so that when we do have a case that we can move forward with, we are fully prepared to go all the way with that case and hold the serial offenders accountable.
We're talking about Keeping Ashland Women Safe, a new group here in Ashland on the Jefferson Exchange this morning. But as has been mentioned several times so far, this is not just an Ashland issue. So we'd like to invite you to participate in the program today. What are your experiences? What's going on in your community? Maybe you live in Ashland and you have certain experiences to talk about, or maybe you live outside of Ashland but are also worried about sexual assaults in your own community. You can join the conversation this morning at 800-838-3760 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Chief O'Meara, what happens when a sexual assault actually is reported? What are the next steps?
That depends on what the survivor wants. The You Have Options program leaves as much control for what the next steps are in the hands of the sexual assault survivor. The most important thing in the immediate reporting is that we get that person in touch with the emotional support that they need and we collect any physical evidence. That doesn't mean that we have to do anything with the physical evidence, but within the first several days we need after the incident, we need, if there's going to be viable physical evidence, we need to collect that. At that point, most of the time, it is entirely up to the sexual assault survivor what happens. They can do a documentation-only report. They can ask for a full investigation, and they can really go anywhere in between. We take sexual assault reports online. You can you can report your sexual assault anonymously. You can third-hand report a sexual assault that something happened to a friend of mine, and I just want some record of it in case she or he feels comfortable going forward with some sort of investigation. Unless we are compelled to do something about it, it is utterly dependent on the comfort level of the sexual assault survivor what the next steps are. If she or he wants to go forward with a full-blown investigation, then we'll do that. If the survivor hands us a fully formed investigation that could lead to an arrest immediately, and the survivor decides that they don't want to do anything about it right now, that's fine. We won't do anything with it. It's all dependent on what the survivor wants as much as we can under law.
Okay. Lila Harding, let's bring you into the discussion here because Keeping Ashland Women Safe has only been in existence for a few months, really, and you've already had one major summit meeting with a lot of organizations in Jackson County that are dealing with this problem. What are some of the next steps that your group is planning?
I love next steps. Thank you. One of the amazing offers that we had was from one of our community members, Aaron Ortega, who's been a martial arts instructor and a coach to a lot of people for personal empowerment. He has offered an amazing class. We're calling it Power Versus Force. And this particular class is an empowerment class for women. This first one is for women. And we're doing that just so women can feel comfortable with anything that might come up as we're working through this class. It's going to be a two-hour class. It's going to be June 3rd, which is a Sunday, and it's going to be 2 hours from 11 to 1. So to answer your question, one of the things we're going to do is to kind of keep this uncomfortable conversation in the conversation. And we're going to keep planning opportunities for people to come get training and education. We're connected with some different organizations. We're going to outreach. We're going to use the resources. There's a lot of resources here in Jackson County and a lot of support. And in every community, there are places that you can reach out, and they're all connected usually. So our first event is going to be this awareness class. It's not a physical defense class. It's not a karate class. It's learning how to become aware of dangers, learning how to bring your energy up and summon a kind of personal authority and energy that you need to be aware and to tell someone no or back off. And it's an incredible class. It's an incredible class, and it's a great touching point to connect with some of us to see the other things that we're going to be doing.
Okay. Go ahead, Suzanne.
And then another thing about that, and just piggybacking onto that, is that one of the main points of of keeping Ashland women safe is that this is not just about sexual assault. This is about being aware of our surroundings in every way. And I think that, this class really helps with that. One of the things that or the list of things that the committee identified originally in the original meeting was the fact that drinks are being drugged in the bars. The parking situation is tricky in Ashland and many and probably in many other cities as well. You know, if you go to one of the bars downtown or, you know, go to a restaurant and you're meeting up with a group of friends, most likely those friends have parked all over the place. You know, so when you come out at 10 p.m. or something like that, you may be parked up by the playground, you may be parked down on B Street, you might be up on Granite Street, and you've all now split off. And so it's having that awareness to give each other rides to your car. Or if you see someone in trouble who you don't know, maybe, you know, maybe just sort of pay attention and maybe go up and befriend that person right then and there and ask if they need a ride. It's sort of having some awareness of helping each other out, even if you're not if you don't even feel endangered yourself, just all of us as citizens, when we're in restaurants, when we're in bars, just kind of keeping our eyes open for each other, you know, sort of on the lookout. Anybody could drop something into our drink if we're not paying attention to it. So I think that so much of this task force is also about just general awareness and safety. Everyone just being aware that these things do happen and to just be on the lookout for each other.
I want to throw this question out to anybody who wants to take it. You know, we talked about Ashland being a bubble. There are lots of towns that we serve at Jefferson Public Radio who could probably fit that same description. Beautiful surroundings, small town values, great to escape the city. I'm here. Things are mellow. It's all great. How do you maintain that kind of community feel without scaring people, you know, and without saying, oh, yeah, it may look nice, but it's really dangerous? Because that doesn't sound to me like what you're doing. You're just saying, you know, it looks really nice and it is, but you need to be safe. How do you craft those messages?
That is a great conundrum. It's a creative conundrum that we're going to face, just like every organization that's trying to keep the awareness there. What I've been doing is starting where I am, is just having conversations and making comments and mentioning things and telling friends to share that. As a team, as a task force, we're going to tap into places to keep that message present. And again, I think it's this, wherever you have humans, you're going to have misunderstandings and you're going to have conflict and you're going to have, you know, these kinds of things happening. So the question is, how do we keep the awareness up without being afraid to go out at night? And so I think arming people with strategies and things like doing this class, which I can't talk enough about it. It is so amazing. Tapping in, just being not afraid to say, hey, would you call me in 2 minutes when I get to my car? Would you walk me to my car? Having little things that people can do just to, especially if there's been alcohol involved, because sometimes our awareness goes down, I think. But just having everyday strategies that we're just like, maybe it's a tagline that we come up with that it's just automatically remembers. You know, maybe there's something visible or visual that we can create that is like just a reminder, like get your keys in your hand, or that just presences that like, oh, I need to like look around, you know. So I don't know if I answered that question, but.
Yeah, go ahead, Chief O'Meara.
The two things aren't mutually exclusive. We can enjoy our town and recognize how wonderful Ashland is and how some of the other communities that Jefferson Public Radio serves are. But we can also, as we've been talking about here, just take common sense precautions. I had a family when I was a patrol sergeant a few years ago. I was in 7-Eleven, and I had a mom or dad or both of them of a prospective SOU student come in, and they stopped me and they said, hey, can we just ask you a question about sexual assaults at Southern Oregon University? Is it a problem? And so I had a very frank conversation with them. I said, of course it's a problem. It's a problem at every university. It's a problem in every community. That doesn't mean that SOU is any worse than any other place. It simply is another university, and Ashland is another town. So I think that we can enjoy the wonder of Ashland, and we can enjoy our small town values, and we can also recognize that we don't have a bubble around Ashland, and bad stuff does happen here, and we need to take some precautions. We need to feel empowered. One of the I don't remember the device that Alea has, but Alea's got this wonderful little alarm tool that she carries around with her that if you feel like somebody is encroaching on your space or you're threatened, then you just pop something out of it, and it makes this god-awful, horrific noise that really draws attention to you. But that's something that can make you feel more empowered to walk around town and you take common sense precautions, but feel empowered while you're doing it and enjoying our wonderful town.
Well, actually, it just so happens that Alea is calling into the program this morning, and maybe she can talk a little bit more about that. Good morning, Alea Catani, who actually is the founder of Keeping Ashland Women Safe.
Good morning. Hi, good morning to everybody. This is a wonderful information that's going out. Thanks for my stand-ins. As you all know, I experienced some injuries falling down some stairs the other night, and I'm kind of housebound at the moment. But I did want to just mention also the macro view that the task force is looking at. You know, everything that's been discussed is so significant, and on the larger view, you know, we live in a culture, we live in America, where most certainly the devaluing of women's lives and safety and the repercussions of harming women has been downplayed, and we see over and over in the news that accused and even convicted assailants and rapists get a slap on the hand. This is a real problem in our culture. And so on the larger view, what the task force wants to see what we can do about creating culture-changing awareness and action so that Ashland really becomes like a sanctuary city, a template, where violence is simply not tolerated, where women are safe, and where all the great men, and there are many wonderful men, get behind this cause and contribute in regard to when do they speak up when men make degrading comments, when men are overly aggressive, when men are telling stories about their triumphs of acting in inappropriate, harmful, and dangerous ways towards women. How can we bring both men and women together to create culture change so that we are making huge strides and creating a culture where women are safe and empowered and valued?
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to have to speak up at this point because we're out of time. We could go all hour with this. Keeping Ashland Women Safe. We really want to thank Alea Catani, the founder, for calling in. Suzanne McQueen, Leela Harding, and Ashland Police Chief Ty O'Meara, thank you very much for being with us
thank
this morning
so
on
much.
The Jefferson Exchange. We will be linking to CAWS Facebook page on our website so you can get more information that way as well.